I want you to hear the greatest story of all time. I don't mean how Wisconsin pulled out the game. I was kind of writing my sermon and kind of watching the game. Oh no, this story is the greatest story of history. Of all games, of all peoples, of all places, of all times. The story is about something that changed everything. Changed the future, changed eternity. It's a story that directly applies to you. I suspect, I hope, you've heard this story before. But you've come today because this story is your greatest story too. And you need to hear it again. You need to hear that it's still true. So I invite you to hear it again. And as you do, may the Holy Spirit speak it into your hearts. Lynn?
Luke chapter 24. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb bringing the fragrant spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming gray clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces towards the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he is raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. Mm. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all the things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles.
Hmm. If this story is true, if it's true, then evil, hate, sorrow, tragedy, death will not have the final word. If this story is true, then what you are suffering right now won't last. If this story is true, then you have hope. Now, this past week, I was reading through the Gospel of John. And I read about how Jesus lived and how he taught and how he helped people. How he claimed to be doing a work sent from God that would change everything. And my hope inside was awakened again. Then last night during the prayer vigil, I spent my time reading about how he was betrayed, arrested, tried, condemned, and then killed. And I thought to myself, if this is the way the story ends, it's not any different than so many other stories. So when I got to the resurrection this morning, and I was reading about that, I thought, you know, this is the way this story ought to end. It's the way I want it to end. What a great story. What a great finish. What an excellent plot development. Excellent story. I should teach it in English class. But the life-changing question was not, is it a great story? But is it really true? Because if it is, then it changes everything. Answering this question, is it true? Really? Really? Is it true? It's what we've come for here today. And ultimately, it's a decision you make. Now notice that in the story, the earliest disciples struggled with this question. When the women went to the empty tomb, they didn't believe it at first. When they told the apostles that they had met this Jesus, they didn't believe the women either. And when the apostles told Thomas, who hadn't been there that time when Jesus appeared, Thomas didn't believe them either. Each one met the risen Jesus, however. And that's what changed them. Now we have these witnesses of these stories that we've been reading and hearing. You heard it again today. We have the witnesses of those who were there and saw him and touched him. Paul says in Romans that there were over 500 people who claimed to have seen him in person before he went back to heaven. He said to his readers, "If you don't believe me, ask one of them. There are tons of them still around." There's a lot of witnesses. And then we also have the witnesses of every Christian since then who has experienced Jesus in her or his own life. That's a lot of witnesses. And you came here today because somewhere, someplace, some way along the line, someone was a witness to you. That's why you're here. So there's the story. You've heard and seen the witnesses. Is it true? It's a decision you have to make. Now there are 6 resurrection stories in the Bible. We're going to take a look at one of them. You already heard one. You're going to hear another one. It's the very next story in Luke after the one we just heard. It's a story about walking with Jesus. We're going to take a closer look at it today, but then over the next few weeks ahead, we're going to take a much closer look at it. Because there are five things I want you to hear today on Easter. But then, there are so many more things in this story that just describe and summarize and completely lay out the Christian life. But we're going to spend some time with this over the next few weeks. You're going to want to come back for that. Walking with Jesus, it's well worth the walk. Well, there are 2 of them who were not part of the 12 apostles, but were part of the 72 who had evidently had followed Jesus around and had left their homes and lives and had spent 2 to 3 years with Jesus. They were regular disciples of him, of his. And they were walking home on Easter. See, they'd gone to Jerusalem the week before, hopeful and excited, but then they watched him die. Well, from a distance anyway. They were too scared to get too close. They spent Friday and Saturday in shock. You know what it's like. Someone close to you, dear to you, important to you, dies. You know how it goes. You're all sitting around together. Not much is said. You sigh once in a while. Then someone says, "I can't believe he's gone." Someone else says, "I think he just will walk through the door any moment. It seems like that to me. I can't believe it." We've all been there. We know what this is like. And so come Sunday, they've done this now for a day and a half. And come Sunday, they leave. There's nothing left for them in Jerusalem. They go back to their old lives before Jesus. What a tragic picture. Yet all they had done, all they had hoped in, came to nothing. They'd heard the women's testimony, but they were, you know, that's just hopeful, grieving women. And they head for home.
On that same day, 2 disciples were traveling to a village called After 7 miles from Jerusalem, they were talking to each other about everything they had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived to join them on the journey. but they were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. On that same day, two disciples were traveling.
Home is 7 miles away. That's, I don't know, about a 2-hour walk. That's like us hopping in the car and going up to Duluth. Right? So what do you do on the way? They start talking. One says, "How could God let this happen?" Other one says, "Maybe God is good, but not all powerful." Other one says, "Well, or maybe God is not all good." Someone says, "Well, maybe God's not at all." Notice how their body language is described. Their faces are downcast. One translation says, twisted with grief. Wow. This is where we enter the story, you and me. For each one of us, at some point, we'll have to take a walk to Emmaus. Some of you have been down the road recently. In this world, we will have trouble, and it will hit close to home. There'll be times when our faces are downcast, when all that we hope for seems over. Perhaps it's the walk to the unemployment line. You ask, how did this happen? Perhaps it's the walk away from the doctor's office, your worst feared diagnosis confirmed. Perhaps it's the walk away from the courthouse, finalizing the divorce. How do you survive this? Perhaps it's the visit to the prison where your son is. All your hopes and dreams for his life, what it could have been, gone. We know what it's like to walk to Emmaus. We've all had to walk there, or we will walk there. That walk home, you know, face is downcast. When it just seems so hopeless. On the way in this morning, you're all given an empty cup. Go ahead and grab it. Pick it up and look at it. Hold it. Look how empty it is. Think about the emptiness of your life. Think about the ways that you wish you were full.
The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to the be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. He had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago. But there's more. Some women found our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of these who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing that what the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interrupted them in the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets.
Here we are in the story again. Notice how Jesus came to the disciples. Jesus shows up to them like he shows up to us. See, they don't recognize him. Now, I think that's on purpose. God is preventing them from recognizing him at first on purpose. We'll find out why. He comes alongside of them and joins in their conversation as they are walking along. He asks, "Why are you so sad?" Their answer is like, "How could you have missed this? Are you the only one in Jerusalem who's not heard about this? Don't you understand? Jesus is dead. And maybe our faith is dead too. Jesus does not say, "Hey guys, look, it's me. Woo! It's all okay. I've taken care of everything. I fixed it all. It's good." Instead, he says, "Don't you understand?" And then he begins to go back to the scriptures and explain how this is not a defeat, but rather it's all part of God's plan. Starting with the start of the Garden of Eden, about the problem of the world and the mess the world is in. He goes through and explains, "Do you see how God had to fix this? It's ugly. It's messy. It's painful. All the law and the prophets, the Messiah had to suffer. That's how God redeemed things." See, the stranger doesn't change what happens, but their perspectives start to change. Jesus doesn't fix everything for them instantly. He doesn't always heal in the moment, does he? We know that. But he always works on us to change how we are seeing things. For we start to see things from a different angle. Rather than from our own perspective, all that only what we can see, he opens up to us from God's perspective. We get new eyes and new ways of seeing it. He helps us see what God's doing. What might God be doing here? Rather than claiming God is gone, ask, what might God be doing here? What's God doing with this? Maybe God's doing something amazing in this mess. Maybe all is not lost. Jesus changes our perspective. And with that, our hearts begin to change. And rather than being filled with grief and despair, hope dawns. A couple of verses later, the two disciples exclaim that while he was teaching them, they said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" A hope dawns. Life is rekindled. The future again has potential. This is how we usually experience Jesus. Jesus usually comes to us through a stranger who speaks words of life, who helps us to see things in a different way. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, David and Helen Ash were in a terrible car accident. And amazingly, here they sit to this day. Wave, David and Helen. Woo, we're glad you're here. Wow. Sore, but healing. And Helen shared with our confirmation class how during this awful experience, Jesus showed up to them over and over again. One time it was the nurse who, after hours, after she left the hospital, came to their door and helped them. Another was the hotel owner who drove them to their wreck to go get their belongings. Strangers showed up to help them all along the way. They spoke words that changed their perspective. One of the emergency responders, I'll call him Jesus, when he looked at what Helen could only see as a terrible crash site, turned to her and said, "Wow, God was protecting you." See, Jesus came in a stranger to David and Helen Ash in the worst time. This is how we experience Jesus alive today.
When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he were going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them.
Jesus acts like he's going to keep on going. Remember, they thought he was a stranger. I think this is why they couldn't see him or didn't recognize him. For he was testing to see what they would do. Remember, Jesus had taught them over and over again to love God and love your neighbors. Taught them stories about how to help other people. The story of the Good Samaritan. how he taught them with the parable of the sheep and goats. He said, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. He was testing them to see if they would practice what he had taught them, a new way of life. And they urged him to stay with them. They passed the test. Ooh. What if they hadn't invited him in? They would have missed the risen Jesus. We meet the risen Savior when we welcome the stranger and help those in need. This is how we can live out Easter next week, Tuesday, July 17th, August the middle. Our Easter offering this year, we're going to have a chance to bring your offerings down if you want to be a part of this, is going to the Community Helping Hand Food Pantry. It's a way that we give food to those in need. Jesus eats with the disciples. So we're talking about a lot of food, this walking and eating this Easter. And so the food goes to those who walk in for help, and the food goes to them. Are you looking for Jesus? Do you watch for him? Do you stop to help him? Hold your empty cup again. In what ways can you offer a drink to someone who is thirsty? What can you do? At this church, every third Saturday, we meet Jesus. We do our own food distribution. If you want to meet Jesus, come and help. We unload the truck at 6 a.m. We divide and organize the food. People start coming through the door at 8 a.m. Cleanup starts at 10 a.m. Do you want to meet Jesus? See, after we organize the food, we all stop. We join hands, and we pray before everybody comes in. And each and every time we pray that we would again see Jesus. And we do. Jesus comes to the door 200 times every third Sunday. If you want to meet Jesus, meet me back here April 18th. Then you'll have your own testimony. You'll have the testimony of the early disciples who met Jesus, and the testimony of the stories that are told in Scripture, and the testimony of those people around you who claim to have met Jesus. But then you will also be able to add your own testimony that Jesus is alive, and that changes everything.
After he took his seat on the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road, and when he explained the scriptures for us?"
See, here's where we enter the story again. You see, it was at the table, when they were eating together, that they could recognize him. It was in the breaking of the bread. Something clicked. They saw how he had done that at the Last Supper. They were there a few days before. How he took the bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them. And he does it again. And that's when they realize, this is Jesus. He vanishes, right? But notice, the bread and the drink is sitting there on the table. Just like it is for us today. We have this experience here today on Easter. We who've been walking with Jesus, we also get to eat with Jesus this morning. We break bread with Jesus. And when we do, we meet him in a revealing way. Pick up your cups again. This morning, you didn't come to hear a preacher. You didn't come to hear awesome music. You came thirsty. You came looking for living water. You came to share a conversation and a meal with Jesus. You came hoping the story is true. And the bread and the drink here are ready and are waiting.
they got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what they had happened along the road and how Jesus had made known to them as he broke the bread. While they were saying these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you."
Look what they do. They get up late that evening and run back to Jerusalem. They pound on the door. "We've seen him. He's alive." Changes everything. And then Jesus stands there among them. When they all meet Jesus, look at what he does for them. Look what he gives them. What is the Easter present? What's in their basket? Huh? Not candy. Not wealth, not happiness, not healing, not fixing their problems, not protecting them from troubles, but peace. Peace. This is the true gift of Easter. The risen Jesus gives peace. Peace on the inside. Everything's crazy on the outside. If you come this morning looking for a Jesus, looking for a God who will take away all your problems, if you're hoping in a Jesus that will take care of everything for you, make all your problems disappear, then you're missing the better gift. Jesus offers you something far greater. He offers a peace that grounds you, that heals from the inside out, that makes your whole life right. He doesn't always fix everything, but he fixes you. We meet Jesus along the way, especially on those hard paths. Jesus doesn't always fix everything, but he changes your perspective. We follow Jesus when we serve others. We meet Jesus when we break bread together. And Jesus changes us and everything by giving us peace. Don't miss out on Easter. You want to hear if it's true? The story is your witness. These early disciples are your witnesses. The believers around you are your witnesses. This bread and this juice in front of you here are your witnesses. But when you choose to believe yourself, then your inner peace is stronger than anything that you live through will be your witness. Pick up your cups one more time. Look how empty it is. Notice how thirsty you are. Pray for God to fill you up, to satisfy you. When I read through the end of the Gospel of John, I said out loud, "I choose to believe it's true." You know, people often ask me, "You're a pastor. Do you really believe all that stuff?" My answer is, not only do I believe it, but man, I am counting on it. The story is true, and it changes everything. Jesus changes everything. He's waiting to meet you right now. All you have to do is carry your empty cup and take a walk.